TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Hello, welcome in. Raised by Wolves, Danny Cunningham with this midweek episode. Wolves got a big win last night over the Utah Jazz. 112-102 on the road. Huge win for them. They now sit at 8-6 on the season as I record this. Today's episode, I chat with Gina Mizell of The Athletic. She covers the Phoenix Suns. They'll be in town on Saturday afternoon. Fun matchup between Devin Booker and Karl-Anthony Towns. Obviously, old friends. Ricky Rubio and Dario Saric also will be in town with the Suns. Suns have been a surprising team so far. 7-5 as this episode was recorded on Tuesday. And they're in Sacramento the night of the recording. By the time you listen to this, they'll either be 7-6 or 8-5. You'll know. I currently don't. But Gina and I talk about the biggest difference between this Suns team and the Suns of the last couple of years, who have never been able to really win more than 25 games. The impact that Monty Williams has had. Aaron Baines has been a terrific bright spot for them. We talk about him a little bit as well. And then obviously old friend Ricky Rubio and Devin Booker. So here's my conversation with Gina Mizell of The Athletic. You can find her on Twitter at Gina Mizell. That is G-I-N-A-M-I-Z-E-L-L. Give her a follow. She's great on Sun stuff, and hope you enjoy. Gina, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for asking. So this year, I think the team that you cover in Phoenix has really taken a lot of people in the NBA by surprise so far. 7-5 as we record this. I know they're in Sacramento tonight. They'll be here in Minneapolis on Saturday to take on the Wolves. But what's been the biggest difference between this Suns team right now and the Suns of the past couple of seasons?
Yeah, I think just a lot of the new additions, and you start with Coach Monty Williams and sort of what he's already brought to the table as far as building culture. I know that sounds like a cliche, but he really has emphasized that with this group, and I think they've bought in, in these early games. And then, from a roster standpoint, I think you have to start with Ricky Rubio, somebody that Wolves fans know very well.
It's oh, yes.
His ability to be a legitimate point guard on this team, which is what they had been severely lacking the past couple of seasons. And then even some other complimentary pieces like, Aaron Baines has filled in brilliantly for DeAndre Ayton, who is currently serving a 25-game suspension because he violated the league's drug policy. Even guys like, Dario Saric, Frank Kaminsky, players that, maybe didn't have the best careers heading into their time with Phoenix or just haven't performed at this type of level, I think has been, kind of a really, really nice surprise for the Suns team. Now, I thought they would be significantly better this year than they were last year just because of the additions that they have made, but I don't think I necessarily projected that they would click this quickly, like especially with the schedule that they've played in the early season. I mean, they've already faced the Lakers, the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Jazz, the Sixers. They've played the Celtics last night, so it's been a tough road for them, and they've, held their own. Other than losing pretty badly to Boston on Monday night, they've held their own against some of the league's top teams. So it's been a pleasant surprise in the NBA, and it's been kind of a fun thing to watch unfold and to cover.
So basically everything you brought up is everything that I want to hit on during this chat, because those are the things that I've noticed from afar, and I think that they've been pretty easy for people that aren't necessarily plugged into the Suns to notice. But what has Monty Williams done to really be able to change that culture like you brought up and just really change the way that we think about the Phoenix Suns as an organization this year compared to previously?
Well, I think, first of all, he's got head coaching experience, which is not something that this organization has had since Alvin Gentry, at least in like a permanent capacity. So, he came in with just that immediate credibility, not just as a coach, but also as a human as well. I mean, I think most NBA fans are at least aware of his story and what he's gone through in his personal life. His wife tragically died in a car accident in 2016 when he was an assistant coach in Oklahoma City, and just kind of his journey to step away from the game and then come back to coaching and then into a head coaching role in Phoenix. And he's just a really genuine person, and I don't say that lightly. I mean, even when we just talk to him for 10 minutes a day after practice or things like that, you can just tell that he has this presence to him that's very calm and very not subdued, but just very very calm but very purposeful. And he comes up with kind of some sayings and some mantras, and they've got their core values now put up in the locker room, and it doesn't feel hokey, it doesn't feel trite, it feels like very genuine as far as some things are basketball things as far as sharing the ball and defending and those types of things, but also it's some, you know, life stuff like practicing gratitude and showing up on time. And I think those are really good things to just be reminded of every single day. So I think that does come through to players, and that they really want to play for a guy like that. And just the way that he coaches and teaches and really tries to, he talks about calling guys up, not calling them out. And so, yeah, those are just a few examples of, you know, just beyond the X's and O's and his systems and those types of things that he's put into place here in the early season. I think just his presence and his leadership qualities and just his genuineness as a person, I think, really comes through to anyone who encounters him, and certainly with the players and the people in the organization who interact with him every single day.
Do you think his experience and having been around for a long time also helps kind of ease the transition for James Jones, who was an NBA player not too long ago, now the full-time GM? Do you think that having that type of relationship there has helped the front office out too?
Yeah, I think so. And just the trust between those two guys. I mean, they first met in Portland back in the early 2000s when James Jones was a player there for one season, and Monty was an assistant coach on Nate McMillan's staff. And so they really only had that one season that they worked together, but they established a rapport and a strong relationship there. And, you know, not saying that they were best buddies for the past, you know, 20 years or 10 years or whatever, but they've maintained that mutual respect for each other. And, you know, they both just kind of talk about being united as far as their vision and their goals for this organization. And again, kind of their values as people. And that was definitely, that comfort level, I know, was really big for Monty when he was deciding if he wanted to come here and be the head coach. And I know that's a huge reason why, you know, he was a top target for James Jones as far as when he decided to fire Igor Kokoschkov and, you know, embark on a coaching search. So, yes, yeah, certainly that partnership is really deep, and it's a huge thing, I think, for this organization, not just immediately and what's going on right now, but, you know, for the future moving forward. I think that's going to be really, really key to potentially turning around this franchise and making this nice start, you know, something sustainable for more than just a few weeks, that it's something that they can sort of put together for the long haul.
So previously you mentioned the 25-game suspension that DeAndre Ayton's currently serving for a performance-enhancing drug violation. And Aaron Baines has kind of been the guy that stepped up for them. You have a great story in The Athletic right now that you can go find on Aaron Baines, reporting on him and really what his career, how it started, how he's got to where he's at. The first thing I have off of that is, what was the most fun part of reporting that story? Because it was terrific. I thoroughly did enjoy reading it. And two, how much of an impact has he had on the team?
Yeah, well, it was a blast to report. One of the most fun things that I've reported since I joined The Athletic, I think, just because he's had such a unique basketball journey. You know, didn't even start playing until he was a teenager, and then goes to Washington State, has to play in Europe, and then finally gets his NBA opportunity. But he's just a very colorful personality. I mean, some of the anecdotes and quotes in that story from other people who have been part of his basketball life and just his life in general are pretty golden. So just sort of learning about how he's always been stubborn, he's always been competitive, but also has this kind of soccer side to him that you probably don't see unless you're, you know, really in his inner circle, was really fun to report. So yeah, talking to guys like Tony Bennett, who of course is the coach at Virginia right now, but it was his coach at Washington State. Even going back to one of his first coaches in Australia, Aaron Fern, and of course guys who have been with him along the way in the NBA has been really, really fun. So yeah, when guys are talking about how, you know, he'll pull out a Viking weapon and tell you do this or else, or that you know, he's slightly maniacal, or that there was a student section sign at Washington State that said, "Baines will eat your children." I mean, that's tough when you're reporting. You're like, this is awesome. So that was really, really fun. And again, that sort of all came about organically. And I think that's a testament to Aaron's, you know, personality and his playing style. And as far as his impact on this team, I mean, it's been huge. It's difficult to envision the Suns team getting off to the start that they have without him. I mean, obviously he brings the stuff that you'd always expect, his defensive toughness, the way he screens, his leadership qualities, just as a guy who, again, is experienced and has played for really winning cultures and winning franchises throughout his career. But his three-point shooting has been a little bit of a revelation. I mean, until a couple days ago, he was shooting over 50% from three-point range. It's not the prettiest looking shot, but it's very effective. And so his offensive game, I think, has been, you know, kind of a pleasant surprise. But he's putting up the best numbers of his career, and he's really eased the blow of losing DeAndre Ayton. I mean, when that suspension went down, you sort of thought, oh my gosh, this is going to like derail the season before it even starts. But it's kind of had not the opposite effect, but they've been able to really sustain and to get through without Ayton, and Aaron Baines is a massive reason why.
I don't know what his plans for All-Star Weekend are, but I really want him in Chicago in the three-point shootout. Just the fact that a guy
that
his size,
awesome.
After never shooting three-pointers, and I was at the first game. I used to cover the Milwaukee Bucks, and I covered the series between the Bucks and the Celtics when he was in Boston. I was at the first game when he just kind of started letting it fly in the playoffs from three, and I looked at a couple of reporters around me. I go, is he doing that on purpose? Like, is this supposed to happen? And now he's shooting 46%. It's remarkable. I want him in the three-point contest. I really do.
I mean, I think he would be the star of the show if that were the case.
Absolutely.
An unorthodox participant, like, I think that would be awesome. And like you mentioned, he really only started doing it a couple years ago, and he credited Brad Stevens, the Celtics coach, for giving him the confidence to start shooting that and to start expanding his game by basically saying, hey, if you don't take this shot, like, you're hurting the team. This is the best shot available to us at this moment. So, it's sort of, he's an example of how the game has changed over the last couple of years, and that big men are so relied on to now shoot threes. And again, it's a flat liner. It doesn't look very pretty, but at least through the first 12 games of the season, it's been pretty darn effective for him.
All right, now for the super Minnesotan portion of this podcast, because I have to ask about Ricky Rubio. He's still beloved here, no matter how many teams he plays for throughout his career, where he goes, he's always going to be loved here. What's life in Phoenix been like for him?
I think it's been really good so far. And again, he's a guy that when the Suns signed him, I had some people reach out to me sort of unprompted and say, oh my gosh, you're going to love, you know, covering Ricky Rubio and working with Ricky Rubio on a daily basis. And you can really see that just in the way he carries himself. Again, his leadership quality, where Aaron Baines is a little more boisterous, Ricky is very calm and subdued. But again, just kind of garners that respect from some of the younger guys in this locker room, because not only has he sustained a really nice long NBA career, but I mean, he's been obviously playing basketball at a high level as a professional since he was a teenager. So, I think, you know, he missed the game against Boston last night, and I think you really saw the impact his absence had, because the ball just did not move for the Suns team, and they really struggled offensively. And so he's bringing all the things that I think Wolves fans would expect him to, as far as his passing, his perimeter defense, and just his overall leadership qualities. And he's had a massive impact on Devin Booker as far as his efficiency and just kind of the way he runs in the offense now. Booker doesn't have to try to force things himself or try to do everything himself. He's getting the ball in the right spot to either catch and shoot or to operate, and a lot of that has to do with Ricky Rubio and just his overall impact. So I don't think any Minnesota fans will be shocked to hear that that's what he's bringing, but he's definitely, again, just brought credibility and legitimacy to that point guard position, which the Suns team had sorely needed the past couple of seasons.
And the tie between Rubio and Booker, I think, is the most interesting aspect of what the Suns do offensively, because Booker is sort of been playing out of position, and now Rubio really lets him do what he's best at. How much better is Booker in that role versus what he's been unfortunately forced for him to do over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, he played a lot of point guard last season, and, you know, I think on one hand, it allowed him to grow as far as a playmaker, which I think will, in a weird way, sort of benefit him throughout the rest of his career, and he's still putting up pretty strong assist numbers, but yeah, he just doesn't have to have the ball in his hands so much on every single possession, and he can sort of find his spots and know he's going to get the ball in that right spot and have a good opportunity to shoot and to score the basketball. And I mean, his efficiency numbers are outstanding. Going into tonight's game in Sacramento, he's a 50-50-90 shooter, not a 50-40-90 shooter. He's still shooting 50% from three-point range, which is pretty remarkable. And then the other thing, too, is that because he's not expending so much energy on offense, is he's able to kind of commit himself more on defense. He's really sort of taken pride guarding his man, on not being forced to be hidden on that end of the floor. And he just says that he feels fresher already, even just, you know, 12 games into the season or whatnot, than he did, you know, at certain points last year, just because he doesn't have to do quite as much for this team. So, no, obviously the narrative around Booker, or the question surrounding Booker, has been, okay, is he just an empty stats guy? Is he somebody who, you know, does not, you know, impact winning, that he's, you know, never going to be able to lead a winning team or a playoff team? And I think we're starting to see that those narratives can be debunked a little bit, because now he's got a point guard next to him. He's got a higher level of talent as far as his overall teammates are concerned, and you're seeing what he's able to do in that type of system. So it's been impressive to watch him as a, you know, fresh 23-year-old, you know, potentially putting up all-star caliber numbers.
And this team's gotten off to a 7-5 start behind everything that we've talked about so far. What's the belief like around the organization that this is something that's going to stick? Because after looking at what the Western Conference looked at prior to the season, some teams have fallen off, and suddenly there are playoff spots that are open, and the Suns are one of those teams that very well could find themselves playing for more than just lottery position at the end of the year. How strong is the belief around this organization that that's going to be the case at the end?
I think there is some belief that that's at least, you know, a possibility. And I think the fact that they've started out so strong against a tough schedule, which maybe that's par for the course in the West, but I think the way that they've played against some high caliber competition, particularly without Ayton, has been really impressive. So again, I'm really curious to see if they can keep this up, you know, as we get into the grind of the season, you know, in January and early February before the All-Star break, or as opponents continue to adjust to what Phoenix is doing, because they were kind of a blank slate heading into the season as far as what they were going to throw out there offensively and defensively. But again, I think the identity is very clear with this team. They want to share the ball, they want to defend, and they want to play hard, which sounds super simple, but those are kind of the pillars of who they want to be as a team. And I think those, you know, if you commit to those every single night or most nights, that's you know, generally going to work out in your favor, or you're at least going to have a chance to win. So, I think playoffs is, it's not a word I thought I would be uttering a month ago as far as this team, but the way they've started out, and like you said, the way that some other teams have either completely fallen off the face of the earth in the Western Conference, or maybe just sort of stumbled out of the gate and we're kind of like, not sure about them. I think that sort of makes for an interesting bottom of the pack, and some new teams potentially, you know, fighting for those spots. So that would be, you know, Phoenix has been starving for meaningful basketball in March and early April for years. It's been a decade since this team made the playoffs. So I think that the city would welcome that for sure. And that would be something, you know, really fun to chronicle.
I think you and I have very similar feelings in terms of talking about playoffs with the teams that we cover, because I can tell you that the Wolves getting off to the start that they've gotten off to, I feel a very similar way, that I'm still iffy about whether or not how real this is, but they're 8-6 and they've got some big wins I didn't expect them to be able to get. And then I do have one question about the Wolves that I have to ask you, because I am asking everyone that I talk to, what have you thought from a distance of Andrew Wiggins, who has been one of the most frustrating players in basketball throughout his career, but finally seems to have it looking like it's in the right direction?
Yeah, I mean, good for him. That's what I say. I mean, finally, I guess I can understand why Wolves fans have been frustrated with him. But, I don't know if it's Ryan Saunders that finally got through to him, or just his own, you know, internal introspection and figuring out what he needs to do as a player. But no, certainly, I mean, you could argue that Aaron Baines and Andrew Wiggins are the two leading contenders for most improved player right now. And,
certainly.
And that's a credit to both of those guys and what they've been able to contribute to their teams. So, no, I mean, and it's fascinating to see, oh, look, when Andrew Wiggins is awesome, the Timberwolves are pretty darn good, because the other players they have on this team with Kat and Robert Covington, and you kind of go down the list. So, I think, again, he's a player that's been so criticized, you know, much maligned throughout his early career, and to kind of see him sort of figuring things out in real time has been really fascinating to watch. And again, I'll be very curious to see if that's sustainable through an 82-game schedule in a lot of the same ways that I'm curious about things with the Suns team. But again, impressive to watch. Credit to him or whoever finally got through to him to help him along. But he's playing great right now, and I know that's a big reason why the Wolves are sitting where they are right now.
Yeah, you and I both. Very curious to see if this will keep up. But Gina, thank you so much for doing this. Really appreciate the time.
All right, thanks, Danny.
Really appreciate the time Gina took to chat with me about the Suns. Again, follow her on Twitter at Gina Mizell, G-I-N-A-M-I-Z-E-L-L. Thursday, myself and Dane Moore, we will be talking more Wolves basketball on Raised by Wolves. Plenty to talk about as they have Utah again on Wednesday night, and then we'll look ahead to the weekend when Phoenix comes to town. So be sure to stay tuned for that. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, we're there. Or you can download the all-new Score North mobile app available for both Apple and Android devices. If you can, we'd love for you to leave us a review. Really would appreciate that. 5 stars if possible, but we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening.